Well, in the first half, I have very bad news about an Andy Warhol car, and I have thoughts. Also, watch Michelle Obama's special over the weekend. I got some clips for you for that. Adam Ray, newly married Adam Ray, is going to join us in studio as well. We'll do that right after this.
Hey, Friday Night Lights fans. It's Not Only Football, Friday Night Lights and Beyond is an episode-by-episode discussion of the hit TV series Friday Night Lights, hosted by yours truly, Scott Porter, who played Jason Street on the show, and my two wonderful co-hosts.
Me, Zach Guilford, a.k.a. Matt Saracen.
And me, Mae Whitman, a.k.a. someone who wasn't on the show, but really, really loves it a lot.
We will also bring on some special guests, answer your questions, and tell you about what's going on in our lives today.
It's Not Only Football, Friday Night Lights and Beyond, coming soon wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose!
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Adam Ray, with Gina Grad on news. And now, still getting a lot of use out of his Masked Singer, Don't Talk to Me sweatshirt, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Ball Brian is still recovering, but he's at home now.
Yeah.
So he's on the mend, and we'll keep you updated. Adam Ray's going to be sitting in with the show, though Adam Ray's doing some VO work, and he's running a couple of minutes late, but we will bring him in as soon as he comes in.
Maybe Tony Danza will be here. Maybe Dr. Phil will be here.
You never know who's going to stop by. Pack them all. All right. Well, now in the world of climate change, a lot of climate change protesters are defacing art, throwing soup on Rembrandts and whatnot,
corn.
And cream corn, and gluing themselves to a lot of things.
Yeah.
They glued themselves to the floor of the BMW plant.
Oh, well, remember when James Cromwell glued his hand to the counter at Starbucks?
Oh, right.
That was over the upcharge in oat milk.
I'd love to explain to impoverished countries who have problems the kind of problems we have over here. And yeah, so and then the ones who super glued themselves to the floor of the BMW plant also demanded a bathroom and some heat, and BMW, I think, just kind of shut the lights and said, you're on your own.
If you're going to do that, by all means, glue yourself to the floor of the Ritz-Carlton or the Four Seasons.
Yeah. Now, my feeling with going after works of art, I don't have, you know, I don't appreciate it. I don't like it. I think it tends to anger people about your cause more than get people on your cause, but they cross the line.
Uh-oh.
Over the weekend, they threw sacks of what I presume to be flour, and they tried to desecrate a BMW M1 Pro car painted by Andy Warhol.
Oh, boy.
So for me,
which part's the vandalism? It's hard to tell with Andy Warhol.
Well, it is funny. A lot of people tweeted that Andy vandalized the car before.
That's funny.
Before they did.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair to Andy, he probably gave it to one of his assistants and they just slopped paint on it. It looks like a paint job on a car from a guy who was really high and couldn't paint and not really into cars. Yeah. But it is still an Andy Warhol.
It.
And it is still worth, nobody would really know, but $25 million
Jesus.
Or something. It's an Andy Warhol piece of art. In 2017, it was estimated to be worth $60 million. Oh, and that was 2017. It could be $100 million today. Well, it's a Warhol.
Yeah. And now you add $1.95 for the flower.
And it's a BMW M1 Pro car, which is one of my favorite era race cars ever. I had my own story where I tried to buy an art car, as they call them. BMW did a handful of art cars. There was a Frank Stella BM1 BMW Pro car that was an art car that I tried to buy at auction years and years ago. It's a long and disappointing story.
Is it looked down upon to drive your art car? Because you drive all your cars.
I had this notion about taking this Frank Stella art car and swapping out the fenders and the hood and the deck lid and the parts, the doors that were removable. You wouldn't be able to do the roof of the car, but you'd be able to do all the other components of the car. Hood, fenders, scoops and fairings and things like that, and front deck lid, front, you know, hood, rear right. deck lid, blah, blah, blah.
And what the hell are you buying?
I was going to swap it all out, recreate it, keep the original, put the stuff back, and just hope I didn't flip the car.
Got it.
That was kind of what I was thinking about, but somebody else bought it. It's a long and disappointing story. Okay. I've told you guys before. I won't bore you with it. But now they went after Andy Warhol's BMW M1 Pro car, art car, worth millions and millions of dollars. Dawson, you have that story?
A BMW M1 painted by Andy Warhol was the target of climate activists on November 17th. A group from the organization's Ultima Generazione entered the Fabbrica del Vapore Museum in Italy, where the car is on display. They proceeded to dump several bags of flour on the car before security intervened. The special BMW looked like it had a light dusting of snow on it, according to Reuters.
And in terms of desecrating a piece of art, if I can put that piece of art back together and have it look pristine using nothing but compressed air, then you probably haven't done a good job of like when you go after a synagogue.
Yeah.
If I could just go down and get a compressor, a 5-gallon compressor from Home Depot, and just blow all the hate away.
Oh, if Dustbuster was your answer.
Yes, you've not really done your job, but go ahead. Sorry.
A report from Art News states the protesters originally planned to stick themselves to the windows, but it didn't work. That report also shows four protesters sitting on the ground next to the car. It's unknown if the flour caused any damage to the M1's special 13-pound paint job. The car was painted by Warhol in 79 and raced at Le Mans that year. BMW has commissioned many art cars over the year, but this M1 is arguably the best known due to its connection to the famous pop artist. Warhol was known for bright colors and sweeping brushstrokes, and this particular M1 certainly delivers on that front. In a 2019 feature on the car.
It's like you let a 7-year-old paint a car.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it looks like.
Absolutely.
BMW quoted Warhol as saying he attempted to show speed as a visual image. When an automobile is traveling fast, all the lines and colors are transformed into a blur.
He thought about that after he painted it.
After
that was not the intention.
He was high and got his assistant to paint it.
Yeah.
All right. So now they've gone after my beloved art car BMW, and now I'm pissed.
Yeah,
and I shall not abide or tolerate the movement anymore. In other news, I was watching CNN over the weekend, and they were kept running these trailers for Michelle Obama's mission, which is empowering women. And she was going to have a symposium with Melia Gates?
Melinda
Gates. Malia's probably Michelle Obama's daughter?
Sasha and Malia, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Melinda Gates and Amal Clooney, I hope I'm getting everyone's name right. And all the powerful women were going to get up there and talk about women being oppressed.
And this is to sell the book, The Light Up Inside You? Or
yes.
Sticking a Light Within You?
I had to watch. Chris will go over it, and we'll get in more detail later on in the week, maybe. But he pulled a couple of clips. The first one is, what would Michelle Obama tell her younger self?
Oh, boy.
Just simply put, I would tell myself, you are good enough. You are valued. You are worthy. Your story matters. Your voice matters. You will do the great things that you know you can do. There was something that struck a chord. It's like we all knew who we were when we were little. We knew our power then. It was just second guessed.
Hold on. So, did anyone know their power when they were little?
I'm still trying to figure out my power.
So is the world. And I have no... And no, I meant that as a compliment. What'd she do?
It took me a second. I'm so powerless.
I don't want a bunch of 9-year-olds feel like they know their power. That makes it hard for you to tell them to go to bed and to eat their vegetables and shit like that. But this crazy era of circle jerk talking that now women have engaged in is I am so utterly fascinated with this chapter about knowing your light, knowing your power, knowing your story. And then the concept is you know your power, but the world is trying to snuff it out. That seems like a Herculean task because women outnumber men on the planet and probably in the United States. It's a percentage point or something, but there's technically more women. So the minority that is men are trying to snuff the light out of the majority.
Why do you guys keep doing that?
It's a full-time gig, man.
You must be exhausted. There's a lot of women out there.
All right, we'll keep playing it.
We knew our power then. It was just second guessed. So I would tell myself, follow that instinct, that pay attention to that flame in you because it is real, and keep it fueled and don't let anybody try to blow it out because you're going to need it. Want you?
But well, that is so in line with the light inside you. What did she just say?
Nobody knows. If you got Barack Obama three beers, he'd go, I don't know what the fuck this bitch is talking about. She keeps talking in a circle. And it's, don't let anyone try to blow it out. Well, it's hard to stop people from trying to do stuff. Just don't let them blow it out.
It's not in your control.
Yes.
I saw this stupid quote that went viral with a lot of yeah girls, you tell them, queen. Mm-hmm. And I put on my social media that this might be a controversial statement, but I absolutely disagree with this statement. I would like to read it to you. It says, I intentionally avoid spaces that require a reduced version of me. I want to be me always and abundantly.
No. I reject that. Also, everyone, it's called a society.
Yeah.
We can't have a whole bunch of individuals looking for their flame and their light and being me. And I don't know what the situation is. A Starbucks on the West Side, perhaps. Like, I don't know where these spaces are where they're trying for you not to be you.
Everybody. I said, I disagree with this post. I have suffered panic-inducing humiliation in the past by people who thought it was more important to be themselves than to read the room. Everyone loves a character, but there's grace in someone who knows how to behave themselves instead of making every situation about their quirkiness.
Yeah, how about just blend the fuck in and call it a life?
Yeah.
By the way, this is a, hour-long symposium where they're talking about racism, systemic this, and powers, and they're trying to snuff out the pilot light of creativity. Never just said, fucking mom and dad, stay together, raise your kids. If your girl wants the best shot she can have, mom, dad, stay at the house, raise a kid. Because it's always about society raising the kids.
Right.
And
it takes a village.
Whether it's raising the kids or the bullet train or the homeless issue, I don't know. You tell me how society, like how the government does at this. All right, we have a little more.
Is there any poll quote? Is there any one sentence anyone could take out of there and use for something?
I do not. Kindling? I don't know. Keep it going. Sorry.
This is the agenda of leaders to somehow oppress us under some notion that that's going to give them more power and control.
Why do they keep coming for us?
Because they're afraid of our power.
Yes.
All right. Let's revisit that last 35 seconds again. First off, the leaders more frequently are women. Now, there's a lot of women that are our leaders. You live in Los Angeles, you get Karen Bass, a woman of color who is our leader, and you get a de facto bitch, Gavin Newsom, who is our leader. Who are these? What's going on? What cities? Get specific about like what cities and policies we're talking about. But yeah, Gates is, Melinda?
Melinda French Gates.
Melinda French Gates Hobson. She's scared. They're scared of her power. Okay, well, use your power then and get them to knock the fuck off. All right, I want to hear this one more time.
This is the agenda of leader.
Go back about 10 more seconds.
And if we sit on the sidelines and continue to say that is not my problem, whether it's on women's issues, child marriage, of voting, any rights, we will continue to see the backslide. This is the agenda of leaders to somehow oppress us under some notion that that's going to give them more power and control.
They're all just nodding.
Why are they coming for us?
Because they're afraid of our power.
Yes.
Oh, problem solved, everybody. Just blame it on this ubiquitous something that's out there that's coming for them. The leaders are coming from them. Fucking raise your kids, and then we'll have good little citizens, and then we can get the fuck on with our lives. But and by the way, these are four super powerful, rich women up there belly aching about the leaders in society.
I get it. Like, by all means, everybody wants to look relatable, but like the four most powerful women in the world telling me if they can't do it, then I'm fucked.
Give us some examples. That's all. All right, we got one more clip. Oh, we don't? Oh. Thought we had our second clip.
That was the second clip.
Oh, wait, what was the first clip?
What would you tell your 25-year-old self?
Oh, it just went. Wait, did we see that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Let's just watch the whole
thing. Yeah, there's such nothingisms, we forget how many we've seen already.
It's fucking pablum. It's nuts. It's enticing. It's so enticing. Yeah. Everyone just nods their head and they just spit out these isms, and then everyone goes,
It feels good.
Yeah. But can it feel good to live in a society where the leaders are coming after you because they're scared of your power? And then which is it? Do you have power or do you not have power? Because if you have power, then okay. I got some stats.
Oh, boy.
Because there's more clips we can play, but they just talk about how there's essentially a war on women. She mentions COVID. She mentions education.
Wait, sorry. How is COVID a gender issue?
Everything is a gender issue with her. Well, no, to be fair to Michelle Obama, everything is either a gender issue or a race issue or a gender race issue. Okay. As of June of 2022, 14 male deaths for every 10 female deaths of COVID in the U.S. So that's good. More dudes dying of
in the herd,
pretty substantially than the women. So good job with that. All remember, right. You guys live 7 years longer, so you got to factor that one in.
Sure.
Also, college enrollment by sex. You want to talk about COVID?
I do.
I gave you COVID. Yeah. We'll talk about college enrollment. 9.6 million women enrolled in college compared to 6.6 of men.
Ooh, so that's interesting.
1.5 times as many women enrolled as college as men. So I don't know how much work Michelle Obama needs to do, but maybe we could get to twice as many women in college.
I feel like given the headlines from certain Middle Eastern countries, we're good.
Well, what they do is they'll always toggle back and forth between the United States and then all these other horrible nations out there. So they'll start talking about systemic racism and then they'll go to female genital mutilation. And it's like, yeah, but that's not us.
I didn't experience that in Kansas.
That's them. Suicide. I guess in a weird way, suicides is a way you could just kind of define, like, how's this group doing versus that group? Because that's a bottom line kind of stat. 2020, suicides in the U.S., 9,000 females, 36,000 males committed suicide.
Jesus.
And many of them are amongst the lucky because they missed this fucking special
I watched
the entire weekend. But it's almost four times as many men commit suicide as women. So there you go, everybody. But we'll watch more of that. We'll keep you posted.
I've seen this, a sum total of the 30 seconds we've just played. I've seen nothing more. Maybe she does a soliloquy. But in the body language of the 15 seconds we just watched, Amal Clooney's body language is like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm doing fucking great. You know, kind of like closed off with her arms across.
I don't know why they trotted her out there. She's a substantial woman who's probably has better places to be than this bitch fest, this grievance fest about how women are doing. But anyway, knock yourself out. On the other hand, stop breaking everyone off into groups.
Well, and is this kind of your point? It just came into my head. This could have been, I guess maybe this is what Oprah's for, but this could have been a symposium to celebrate women, to celebrate how far women have come, to celebrate Amal Clooney's on stage, Michelle Obama's on stage, Melinda Gates, people who have gajillions of dollars between them. Look, we're there. Like, we help other women. Like, we're doing this. And to use the other side of the coin and say, I don't know, it's a sinking ship, we're all fucked. It's like, you really had an opportunity here.
It's all just crazed narcissism, which is, women are falling apart, I'm going to fix it.
Also, there was not one there was not one unsuccessful woman in that crowd. How much do you think tickets cost?
That's a good question.
To get into that room? They have to be doing pretty damn well to be there.
Well, not to point shit, but I think those were women brought in internationally, like young girls, to be inspired or something. So I don't think it was...
Inspired?
I don't know. I don't know, everyone. Just stop.
Maybe
it.
Maybe not inspired. That was a defeatist.
It was pretty...
seminar.
Fucking...
You're fucked.
I hugged my daughter and cried after it.
Yeah.
I had to get her out of the hot tub, but once I got her out of the hot tub, we hugged it out. Yeah. Then she watched Masked Singer with her friend and made fun of me. She was like, I was like, play the first song. Play Hit the Road Jack. She's like, no, we do the second. I'm showing my friend your second song. And I'm like, yeah, but I sucked in the second. Yeah, I know. It's funny.
Why do you think I'm showing it?
That's why I'm showing it.
Yeah, front load it.
Yeah, she needs to be empowered. All right, let me tell you about Tommy John. Black Friday, skip the crowds and stock up on comfort. When you give your loved ones Tommy John, they'll be so much more comfortable. They'll do everything better, and they will thank you. That is the gift that keeps on giving. Shop Tommy John's Black Friday sale. Do it now and give the gift of comfort to everyone on your list, including yourself. Stock up yourself. Comfy, non-pilling, micro-modal fabric, no lint balls or fuzz, luxuriously soft. Tri-blend fabric with flexible four-way stretch. Over 18 million pairs sold. They don't have customers. They have fanatics. I'm wearing mine right now. I always wear my Tommy Johns. Once they came on and I started wearing these, I never went back, and you won't either. So the gift, it's all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee, right, Dawson?
Shop Tommy John's Black Friday sale going on right now and get 30% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Adam. 30% off everything now at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right. Comedian and friend and funny man Adam Ray is out there. We'll take a quick break. We'll bring him in and talk to him right after this. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You're invited to the newest Corolla family get-together, Working Blue, with Adam Carolla and John Popper. We'll be in Dallas, Texas on January 20th and 21st with your chance to get up close and personal with Adam Carolla and John Popper. Live podcasts, VIP lunch events, meet and greet, comedy, and of course, music from John Popper. If I'm doing my job, it's yours, all that breaks. With Adam Carolla and John Popper. Tickets for this one-of-a-kind event will go fast, so get yours now at adamcarolla.com. Your tickets for the package include hotel rooms, tickets to a live Adam Carolla show, brunch with John and Adam, a VIP meet and greet, a special screening of the K-Rock documentary, and of course, the big event on Saturday night, Adam Carolla and John Popper at Dallas Echo Music Hall. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. What do you get the man who has everything? Everything reminds me of something. Adam's sixth book.
Yes, the same people who were essentially suggesting that for Thanksgiving 2020, you should fire the mashed potatoes across the yard at your guests with a t-shirt cannon. And for Christmas, you should shut down caroling because it involved too much exhaling. These are the people doing the exact opposite of what they were preaching.
Stuff the stocking of someone you love or a liberal pussy you hate. Click the banner on adamcarolla.com. Now let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Ray is in studio. Yes, he is. And he's working the sound machine.
Jews can do sound. Take that, dwarves. I saw you, Brad. Shots fired.
Adam Ray has dates coming up. Lexington, Kentucky. Comedy off Broadway. They'll be December 1st through the 3rd. And then Los Angeles Dynasty Theater, December 6th and 7th. You go to adamraycomedy.com for all the dates. We also have a 1 minute long little trailer for your mockumentary.
Yes, a mockumentary I did in full prosthetic. I did this character at the roast of David Ortiz with Bill Burr and Anthony Mackie, where I dressed up as an old Yankees fan and roasted everybody. And so I decided to do it again, but create more of a backdrop around this guy. Basically, he took 20 years off from stand up. He's 75, and it's a mockumentary about his return to the stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is Tony Caruso.
Tony Caruso. Yeah.
All right.
This guy's a legend in the comedy game, legend in L.A., started here, took 20 years off of stand-up, but he's back in the game now.
20 years since I've been on stage, but it's time to get back to it, and the reception's been kind.
Tony, it's Steve Martin.
Hey, Tony Caruso, Jeff Lucas here.
Jeffrey here.
Jeff Goldblum calling.
Tony, Bobby De Niro. But you're getting back into it. That's fucking terrific, man.
I'm going to go give it a shot, John, some new material.
Tony Caruso!
Tony Caruso.
Tony Caruso, everybody. Tony!
Get the fuck out of here!
Get the fuck out of here.
Trying to get back on the saddle, as they say. And, see if that old horse still comes, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll be on YouTube?
It's on my YouTube channel. Yeah, Adam Ray, youtube.com/AdamRayComedy.
Full length it's there right now?
Full length it's there right now. That was, we left a little, it's coming out soon, but it's there, ready to be viewed. It's basically, I go, you know, it starts off me in as Tony in his apartment, and then, you know, driving around town, interstitialed with big celebs, like calling in to kind of, you know, congratulate him on his return. And then me at Largo, the improv and the haha.
Wow.
And, yeah, and... yeah, it's fun. It's great. I got a nice review of it from a lot of peeps.
This isn't your first time getting on stage in full regalia.
No, it's not.
So this is good.
Oh, yeah. I've done Dr. Phil.
Yeah,
Dr. Phil. You didn't know it was Adam, right?
I know. It's crazy.
Oh, that's right. I know. I don't know what gave it away. I had like an extra fupa in Phil's. Like, and I was like, how could you not know it's me when my penis looks like a twat? We'll be right back. And you're like, oh, yeah, there he is.
Welcome to Chippendales is out as we speak.
Yes, Hulu.
Yeah.
8-episode limited series from the guy who did Pam and Tommy, Rob Siegel. He hit me up when I was in Australia doing Young Rock, and he was like, hey, can you roller skate? And I was like, yeah, dude. And I sent him this like fake resume of like all these tournaments I'd won, and he was like, is this real? I was like, fuck no, dude. I haven't been on skate since the 90s.
I've been seeing they've been promoting the shit out of this.
Oh, yeah. Kumail Nanjiani, Juliette Lewis, Murray Bartlett, who you know, just won an Emmy for White Lotus. And it's the story, just like the Pam and Tommy story. You know, everyone's got a vague knowledge of, like, you hear Chippendales, I immediately think of the Farley sketch
Patrick
from SNL
Swayze.
With Swayze, yeah. Or, you know, just a failed failed career from my stepdad, George. But I didn't know the full story with all the deceit and murder and the prostitution. I mean, it's pretty crazy. And Kumail playing this guy who created it, you know, out of nothing. It's a pretty pretty crazy story, and they capture it well. It's really, you know, you get the L.A. New York 80s vibe.
It was a big deal out here in the 80s. Mm. I mean, billboards everywhere. The club was on the west side, right off the 405, as I recall. Never there were two big clubs.
Don't act like you don't know the exact address of where it was. I think it was off the 405. You took a right on Burbank,
right,
then a left on Victory. They had a private parking space for you.
It was near the 10 in the 405, as I recall. And then there was also, what was the club that had mud wrestling?
Ooh,
shit.
This feels like a Brad question.
I'll think of that one. Yeah.
Was it a big deal, though? Do you remember it being?
Mud wrestling. There was one club that was mud wrestling. That was a big deal. And then there was Chippendales, and that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. Oh, the Tropicana. Yeah. Was it the Tropicana? They'd have a big billboard up off the Hollywood Freeway. Yeah. That one was right off the Hollywood Freeway. And then the other one, any place that had a 2-drink minimum, I could not do.
Right.
I physically, financially, could not cover a 2-drink minimum. But I would see, we have a Tropicana commercial.
The juice or the casino?
Encounter you may not be able to handle.
female mud wrestling and arm wrestling at the world famous Hollywood Tropicana, where some of the most beautiful girls from
That's
TV and motion pictures collide for the most outrageous evening of entertainment everybody's talking about. Great for singles,
Such
small
80s
groups,
hair.
And couples.
Great Bash for singles, small groups,
Tropicana
and couples.
Is famous for them. Female mud wrestling and oil wrestling, an outrageous evening of fun 7 nights a week, located at 1250 Northwestern Avenue in Hollywood. Try something unique, the Hollywood Tropicana.
Yeah.
Oh, so this was mud this wrestling in like Koreatown?
No, this was
how far south on Western?
It was right off the freeway at Western, and I never been in there.
Deep Western.
I couldn't go into places that didn't have windows. If you didn't have windows, it meant you were a club of some kind with a 2-drink minimum, or it meant you were a high-end steak place.
Right.
And either a fine dining and or clubs with minimums, I could not cover any of it.
I love the VO, singles, couples, or your significant other. Basically yourself, a stranger, or put your marriage on the line if you or spice it up. Mud wrestling is probably that thing that takes it up a notch, right?
Oh, it classes it up, definitely.
But when you've run out of everything, when it's like, you know, like getting to that place where you've done everything sexually and you're like, what have we not done? You go watch. It's almost like couples that start watching porn together.
I don't get watching mud wrestling.
Like, really?
I get watching strippers, but then once they're covered in mud, it sort of obscures things.
I thought because of the full contact slipperiness.
Yeah.
I don't find that erotic, like a fake
I don't like
fight.
To see boobs punched.
Yeah.
But that's just how it was raised.
I like them slapped, but I don't like them punched.
Same.
There was a poster Chris can look for, because a friend of mine had a Tropicana poster up in his garage, and the guy, I don't know if you guys find this sad, but there was a guy who was a Burt Reynolds impersonator.
Nice.
Was his claim to fame, like Smoking the Bandit era Burt Reynolds.
Kurt Reynolds.
He was sort of the referee or the MC or whatever, and it was just, but he's not Burt Reynolds, but he kind of looks like Burt Reynolds.
Caricature.
Why is this a job? Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Adam.
I looked at we finished last night this docuseries called Killer Sally.
Yeah.
Do you know about this?
She's I've heard of it.
This crazy like bodybuilder chick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I learned so much about that world. And there's a thing called schmoes, and there are guys who will pay for the like basically like female wrestlers to come to their house and like choke them out and beat them up.
Wow.
And they're called schmoes. I feel like schmoes would like the Tropicana.
There really is something for everybody out there.
There is.
There is, sadly.
Where do you get to that point, though, where you're like, and now, do you think he enjoys choking already, or he saw, like, you know, I'm sure if there was a petite gal that wasn't a bodybuilder, I mean, obviously the strength isn't going to, you know, be coming with the choke.
Right.
But do you think what came first, the choke or the interest in bodybuilding?
Interesting. I think this is more like a somehow semi-homoerotic, like sub-dom situation.
Yeah.
Can we just agree that when the 9-year-old is torturing Bugs or the neighbor's cat, that he shall be a serial killer one day, getting choked out by female bodybuilders and then you pay them? Mm-hmm. I feel like you should enter some list.
Register
because
somewhere.
Because you're capable of anything.
I felt that way about the kids that were really good at Duck Hunt. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always had to hold the Nintendo gun at the TV because I didn't have good accuracy. Mm-hmm. But I always had one friend that would, like, sit behind the couch and, like, you know, just slay ducks in bundles and then be like, take that, Dad. And you're like, all right, this guy is probably going to be shooting something up. Let's put him on a list.
And then don't the real freedom of not being trapped in some sort of sexual gilded cage, because I've talked to these women and they're guys who like to be the pony and the woman gets in the cart and they put the bit in their mouth and trot.
They have the butt plug tail.
Saying is at some point you're going to have a relationship and you're going to have to broach that shit. You know what I mean?
How do you dip a toe into that conversation?
That's kind of what I'm saying is you're not talking about watching porn together. You're not talking about bringing a third person into the bedroom. You're just talking about something bizarre, slightly ghoulish, a little macabre and insane. And then you want that person to think of you as a responsible, normal person at all other times. You know, you're making eggs for the 9-year-old, stepson, you're paying utility bills, you're having serious conversations with the ex about, with the girlfriend about the importance of recycling and stuff. But she's just picturing you with that butt plug tail and the bit in your mouth trotting around the fat chick and the bustier.
By the way, kids, if you're playing pin the tail on the donkey at a birthday party, make sure you use the tail that came in the package, not the butt plug tail you found in your dad's closet.
That's right.
Nailed it.
Adam, you just got married, speaking of this, right?
Yeah, butt plug tails galore.
Yeah.
The Goo Goo Dolls singer played your first dance? Yeah.
So Johnny Resnick of the Goo Goo Dolls has become a good pal, and so I threw a Hail Mary and said, would you play the wedding? And he was like, if the travel works out, and it definitely didn't. It was crazy. He had to fly in that morning and then played Iris for our first dance song and then two other hits.
Oh,
and then got right on a plane and flew back and did a gig the next day.
Wow.
That's a power move.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, it was cool.
Damn. Where did you get married?
In Scottsdale. She's from Arizona. So
wow.
Does he go full acoustic on that?
Yeah. Asked, there was a band for the party after and asked if they if he wanted to have them accompany, but he was like, nah. And his songs are so big and full that acoustic is kind of the move. I got a little
wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
Was there glass stepping? Was there mazel tov? Was there a chuppah?
There was rabbis. There was mazels.
Did you marry a nice Jewish girl?
She's not Jewish, but she allowed the rabbi. I mean, she's got, you know.
Same. Say interfaith.
She was like, I'm down for the glass break. Yeah. She's like, let's not make it super Jewy. She's like, just because I got a grandpa that, you know, him and Kyrie Irving would get along real well type of, you know, like he's like, Holocaust, did it? And you're like, hey, just ask you what time it was. But so, but there are enough things on the Jewish wedding menu that that she was like, that is great. And she's, you know, very I think she was raised Catholic, but not not super religious.
Where so did she come open. Down on the Hora?
Oh, all about it.
Fuck yeah.
And we went in the Hora. It was a crazy. So we went. It was Google all and Johnny Resnick and then right into the Hora.
Oh, my God.
And my rabbi, you know, pushing 55 is out there getting it going. Like, I mean, I thought it was going to turn from Hora into a mosh pit at a Third Eye Blind concert because he was fucking spinning fast. And then the chairs and we had a lot of people going. And I thought for sure my mom was going to fall out of the chair. But it went the energy from Goo Goo to Hora. And I went to Rabbi. I go, usually go horror to Goo Goo. I go, going Goo Goo to horror was a big roll of the dice. But it was crazy. It was fun.
Awesome.
I think I got a little.
You got it on your phone. You just hold it up to the mic.
Yeah.
Wow. What a treat. Arguments over cost, menu, cake.
Arguments over every. I mean, font, cake, not as much. The shit, I'd probably say.
Yeah, I'll tell you the problem with the planning of the menu and or the planning of the wedding in general is a very fine line the guy has to walk. You cannot put up a spirited argument for everything that is floated, color schemes and arrangements and things like that. But you can't do what I did, which is, whatever. I'm going to work because you can't show a complete lack of interest in the process.
Yeah. You
have
to feign not show up.
Some interest. Yes. But women, you guys can no longer do this argument where you pick your richest friend who spent the most on floral arrangements and then use it as an example.
No.
When you go, $6,700 is cheap. You're getting off easy. Shanna spent $13,000. You're not allowed to pick outliers who spend way too much for fucking shit that's going to be dead in 2 days.
Agreed.
Do we have it?
Damn.
It was cool.
Wow.
It's so good live.
I got to hear the hook.
What's that?
I got to hear the hook.
I don't want to be insensitive here, but does he charge you?
No.
Oh, my God.
Favor.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to open up for every Google Dogs culture from now to the end of time.
Adam's like, look, if you ever get remarried, I'll do some Dr. Phil Grottos. He's like, well, we'll let you know.
Yeah, hard pass.
Wow.
Wow.
And then halfway through, he did a whole thing, and then everybody started cheering because everybody was kind of behind us. And then there was this really fun moment where everybody went nuts. And then he was like, you know, fuck it, let's do one more chorus. And then we kind of waved everybody over, and then we all got up front, and then it felt like a concert, and he really got into it. And,
wow.
Total pro. I mean, that's the thing, too, that is bonkers to me. Like, with us doing stand-up, it's like, shit, our voices, like, you know, you take...
Oh, this is the first dance.
Of course.
Are you singing along?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was making so many jokes during the wedding, too. I mean, I'll have to tell you. At one point, my rabbi pulls up the tallis over both of us to have, like, a little moment. It's like a thing that was on the menu. We could have a little moment. And all I'm thinking of is he's holding it over us and shielding us from the crowd. He goes, God, what a great moment. Just take a moment. Take this in. All I can think is, what's the joke I'm going to say when he drops the tallis?
Yeah.
So he lets it down. And right before he speaks, I go, Rabbi just pitched me his new app. And got a big laugh, and like I could, but she's all, you know, she was all for that. I mean, I was having to be like, give it up. Like at one point, his lapel went out. Brad was one of my groomsmen, and
his lapel, the mic.
And so somebody had him a handheld, but in the middle of that transition, there was just kind of a moment where he's like, oh, it's not working, oh, whatever. And then I go, Brad, quick joke. And Brad just claps his hands and like an old vaudeville jumps in front of the line that he's in. And he goes, two Jews walk into a wedding, and everybody like it was great. And then
that's the picture. Yeah. I'm sorry to your wife because that's the picture.
That'll
be on the thank you cards. Yeah.
Wow.
But his voice, Johnny Resnick, is what I was so, you know, 30 plus years.
Wow.
Same thing with, you know, you guys had McCartney at your show. It's like I'm just baffled at, like, again, for us, it's like I feel like easier to keep your pipes in check over the years for your art. But as much as talking as we do, but like the singing, I just don't, and it's not like he's on vocal rest all the time. You're doing so many shows. I'm sure you have your ways to keep things fresh, but he crushed
you, it. You know, it'd be really fun if you sent him just where you guys were registered.
Afterwards.
And you'd be like, no pressure. But
you did attend.
My mother-in-law said we should send this out to the people who didn't bring gifts.
Yeah.
But again, no pressure.
I feel like you did seconds at the buffet line.
Yeah.
Pay for your plate.
Yeah. I saw you take a fork and put it in your jacket. And whether you were going to put it back or not. And the only reason we had Johnny from the Goo Goo Dolls is because the lead singer of Smash Mouth he didn't say no, but after I saw that video of him at the college.
Steve Harwell?
He didn't do so well.
Man, doing the Heil Hitler, that was kind of a rap on any sort of Jewish wedding.
Oh, was he doing the Heil Hitler? I thought he was just
wasted.
Drunk.
He did all kinds of stuff.
He did all kinds of stuff. It definitely made it into the rotation of things not to do at a concert.
Well, you know, maybe we're judging too harshly. And I'm saying,
on where the angle of the...
That's our cue to exit at.
No, what I'm saying is as a comedian, you know, in many comedians, including myself, I've had a couple of pops and got up on stage. But when you're having to craft a joke, it's tougher to do. When you're yelling, when you're like jumping up and down and yelling like, hey now, you're an all-star.
Hail now.
You would do that. Hail now. Yeah. Hail now, you're an all-star. That's drunken karaoke.
Right.
Yes.
When your live performance is essentially drunken
I told you.
Karaoke.
That's the angle.
That's
I don't know
to debate.
I don't know if that's not 45, but that's...
Listen, if the lead singer of your band... decides to peel off a Heil Hitler.
Look at the Chris Daughtry's doppelganger to his right, being like, "Oh, I'm going to have to look for a new gig."
Here's the way you do this. Here's the way. If you're a band member at that point, drummer, drop the sticks. Bass player, drop the pick. Hand up and start doing the back.
You start playing hip hop array.
That's good.
Right. Even though it's off brand,
that's good. Right.
It's very on brand
because that's all you got.
Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to adjust on the fly.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. McCartney being, I know you guys have knocked it out, but had you met him before ever or seen him live? Had you been in the live presence of a Beatle?
No, I've never met a Beatle. I've never seen a Paul McCartney concert, and I've never met the man.
So
he still hasn't met him.
I
still haven't met him.
Still didn't meet him.
No.
So the closest I've come is, I matched with Ringo on Grindr, but then Paul actually... met him, and I have a crazy Paul McCartney story, and I feel like I'd be remiss to not share.
Please.
You must.
also at the Hollywood Improv. This is probably 5-6 years ago.
So he does this.
He's popped into clubs before.
Okay.
And the Improv is his spot.
Got it.
And so it's a Wednesday 10 p.m. show. And right before I go on, my buddy goes, hey, just not to throw any extra presh, which, you know, as you guys were discussing too, you can't not get a heads up. And I don't know how you feel. I want the heads up.
Yeah.
I want to know because, you know, not that I'm going to phone it in, but it's going to add an extra little zhuzh and like maybe there's some sort of bit I'm going to do that's,
tailored.
You know, tailored towards his, you know, his enjoyment. So I get up there, do my thing. I end up doing this joke about Shania Twain and you know, that don't impress me much and the breaking down the lyrics. And, you know, she's like, so you have a car. That don't impress me much. I'm like, that took me a long time to save up for, bitch. I'm just still making payments on a 2009 Ford Escape. You know, she's like, you know, and then I was like, you could be like, you know, so you got 12 dicks. That don't impress me, whatever. So I do the whole bit. I get off stage and I walk towards the back where he's sitting. He's sitting where the he was in the booth for your show, but there's the back entrance exit of the club that's right down the middle where the light is.
The comedian's entrance.
Also hallway to the bathroom and to the improv lab, and he's sitting right at that corner. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to walk right by him so that maybe he'll tap me on the shoulder and we'll be best friends forever. And so I walk by. And I'm getting to the door, and all of a sudden I just hear a hey hey, and a little tap, and he goes Adam, he goes great job, great set, and I go oh thanks man, he goes oh that was me, he goes that don't impress me, he goes very funny, and you know fuck that bitch, he said, and then he goes I go oh thank you Mr. McCartney, it's crazy that you're here, and then he goes sit down,
oh.
Goes, sit down, invites me over to the couch, I sit down next to him. Just in my head, so nervous, so concerned, like, don't fart, don't get hard, like, just, you know, all the things that you don't want to do to overstay your welcome with a legend. And so I sit down, and he goes, it was really great job. He goes, let's have a drink. And I was like, fucking, yeah. Oh my God. He's like, what are we having? And I'm like, I'll drink anything. I'll do anything to you. I'm very vulnerable right now. Whatever you suggest, I'm going to say yes to. You know, he could have been like, let's go fucking, you know, kidnap a bunch of dwarves and vandalize a Baskin Robbins.
I know where to get one.
I know where to get one. And fucking, I hate Baskin Robbins. And so he goes, let's drink margaritas. And I go, obviously, dude. Yeah. And so he orders, he goes, a couple of margaritas for me and my new friend Adam. Whoa. So they bring him over, and then we get him, and he looks at me, and he goes, what are we cheersing to? And I go, to new friendships, just staying strong, and always never dying, and never sleeping, and following our dreams. And he goes, what else? And with a big smile, and he just kind of laughed, like, you know, like, and then he goes, all right. He goes, don't be nervous. He goes, to living on and staying groovy, baby. And I was like,
wow.
Dude, of course. And I was like, dude, to living on, staying, we cheers, we drank, and then the whole next 5, 6, 7 minutes, I'm not even paying attention to the show. Now I'm sitting there just again, like so nervous I'm going to fuck this up. And you know, the whole reason you sit at a comedy show or in a movie is to like, you know, share if something funny happens. He kept looking over at me to be like, have that shared, like, wasn't that? But I wasn't listening to the show because I was so just like, I can't believe it. People kept looking at me. Servers were coming over. You guys need anything? And then they walk away being like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Just bring over some tots. And so, so he would look over at me and I would just do that thing where I would like overcompensate and nervously laugh. So I remember the first time something happened, he looked at me to be like, wasn't that good? And I just went, I wasn't paying attention. So then when he looked at me, I just looked back at him and I go, ha ha ha. I go, this is a, yeah, dude. Man. And he was like, and then I got up and left. And then,
did he go in for the kiss?
He went in for the kiss. And that's actually who I got married to. You couldn't tell from the dress.
Yeah,
no, the night ended and I go, I got to get a picture with this guy just to kind of,
prove it.
And as he was walking out, too, I was also like, I'm going to throw a Hail Mary and ask if he'll do my podcast about last night.
Mm-hmm.
Hail Mary. We had a nice – we chummed it up. Like during the show, there was a nice rapport that was built and I was like, fucking – if I just walked off stage and asked him, I think poor move.
Yeah.
That's not reading the room. But the fact that he invited me to sit down to me was like doors open.
You
like,
regret not trying.
1,000%.
Yeah.
And I mean I think there are times – you know, I somewhat subscribe to the like, you know, you don't ask, you don't get.
Right.
But also sometimes you shouldn't ask.
Right.
But I felt like the door was open, and so I go, me and my friend grab a pick on the way out. And he goes, of course, and follow me out, you know, to my, you know, my. And he had his manager with him, who was like 5'1", looked like a Disney character. This guy was like stereotypical, like little British, like, he's like, we gonna get in a flight in fucking 45 minutes. And he was like, so we walk out, and I'm like, So, and we're getting ready to take the picture, and his manager's like, we're going to be in Shanghai in 45 minutes. And Paul's like, no, it's right. It's my friend Adam. We'll take a picture. So we take the picture, and then I go, dude, I just got to ask, man. I don't know what time your flight leaves tomorrow. I got this podcast. I pitch him some guests. I go, 30 minutes tops, even 20, 10. We'll rehash tonight's night. Tomorrow I can come over, you know, 8 a.m., set it all up. And he goes, no, we really got to be out of here early. It's kind of a rough time right now. The schedule's not really conducive for it. And I go, dude, even 5 minutes. And then he puts his hand on my shoulder and leans in with a big McCartney smile and he goes, it's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But with a big smile.
Yeah.
And then he gave me one of those and then he goes, but cheers. He goes, best of luck, very funny, whatever. And then was on his way. And I was like, classy. You know what I'm saying? Like, didn't say, you know, fuck off, Jew. Oh. He just, wow.
Wow.
Wow,
that's
we're
great.
Looking at a picture of it.
Oh, that's right. I think I told this. I think the story might be on YouTube, a more extended version.
And what a disarming dude. And to that point, what other celebrity could say it's not going to happen and you feel like
he had no remorse, exactly.
The best.
A sweet guy, you know?
Yeah. Like it. You got to, I mean, if you're Paul McCartney, you have to have the gene and the gear and the muscle to go, not going to happen because he gets hit up 2,000 times a day.
Speaking of muscle, he didn't have the guy who's supposed to do that for you.
He had Mr. Magoo fighting his fights. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Which was crazy, too. You're like, wow, McCartney, I thought would be rolling with, because like, you know. Yeah. Like, I don't know, some 6'7", ex-linebacker. But no, he's
well, wasn't that the case the other night? It was just like one dude sitting with him?
Yeah, he didn't have security, which is important to put out there because, you know, it's been a while since John Lennon. And
he's frail.
No signs of slowing down at 80. Fuck.
God, that's awesome.
All right, let me hit a spot next. Evo Naturals. Ever wonder if your CBD is working? Well, that probably means it's probably not. If you have to sit and wonder, it's probably not doing what you'd like it to do. Next Evo Naturals develops, they developed SmartZorb. It absorbs smartly. It's a technology clinically proven to help your body absorb CBD four times better and faster than regular CBD oil. Gets into your system in as little as 10 minutes. Scientifically proven, 29 times better absorption in the first 30 minutes. So if you want some CBD and you want to relax, I'll use it to help myself relax at night and get a good night's sleep. You go with Next Evo Naturals. Triple action CBD sleep helps you get more refreshing sleep naturally. Fast acting SmartZorb CBD calms your mind. Fast acting melatonin gets you to sleep fast. Plus, a controlled release melatonin helps you sleep longer. It's Next Evo, right, Dawson?
Get a better night's rest and a better day tomorrow with products from Next Evo Naturals. For up to 25% off subscription orders of $40 or more, use promo code Adam at nextevo.com. That's NEXTEVO.com. Promo code Adam.
All right, Adam, blown off by any other celebs or was it just McCartney?
Let's see. Beyonce at a Clippers game.
Oh.
But that's on me. I was about 5-6 vodka tonics deep, and she was leaving with Jay-Z, and I didn't think I'd be on the same planet as Beyonce, you know, let alone the same arena.
Sure.
And in my head, booze, I would say, was driving the ship on this one, where it was like, I wanted a moment. I didn't know what. I thought as far ahead as scream at her, which is what I did. So she gets close to the exit, and I just go, Beyonce! And she turned around, and I didn't expect a follow-up move for her to turn around. So I just looked up with both thumbs, and I was like, yeah.
You gave her the Fonz?
I gave her the double thumbs up. The Fonz. I gave her the Fonz.
The only couple times I met Beyonce, it was so early in their career that they were vying to try to get on to Loveline.
She was Beyonce. She was Beyonce Knowles, not Beyonce.
Whoa.
And
when you drop the last name, that's when things take a turn for the better.
And they was at the Teen Choice Awards, and they spotted me and Dr. Drew, and the Destiny's Child like ran over to us, and somebody told them, you know, those guys have a big radio show. Go, you know, go talk to them. And then they did the little acapella, say my name.
Ooh,
wow!
And then we're like, yeah, you guys can come on,
throw them a bone.
At some point. I mean, Beyonce must have been 17 or something. I mean, this is we would do the first. When was the first Teen Choice Awards? It was like probably 98, 99. Yeah. Well, then it must have been it must have been 99 when Beyonce and the rest of the gals came up.
Looking back, what's it like to be in the presence of a 17-year-old Beyonce?
Great question.
Well, someone should ask her what it was like to be in the presence of a 35-and-a-half-year-old Adam Carolla. Sure. I don't want to turn the tables on the question, but I'm sure it's been posed to her many times. All I could remember from the Teen Choice Awards is they kept saying, you're going to come out there. This is a surfboard. This is the award. Mm-hmm. This is the trophy. It's a surfboard. It's not a plaque.
No.
It's not an Oscar. It's not a Grammy.
Surfboard.
Yes. We call it the Woody.
Right.
And you present them with their Woody. And I said, a Woody is the station wagon that carries the surfboard, but it's not the surfboard. When the Beach Boys are talking about packing up their Woody and heading on a, they're talking about packing up the station wagon.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we call this a Woody. And I said, well, but you guys fucked up because the Woody is, and they were like, just give him the fucking surfboard. Would you
call
please?
Call anything you want.
Call whatever the fuck you want. Give him the surfboard. God. So, this is the 1999 Teen Choice Awards.
That is, that is everyone at the height
of
their powers.
Tatiana Ali.
Matthew McConaughey.
McConaughey.
Ashton Kutcher.
98 Degrees.
Oh, yeah. Night from New Kids.
Luke Perry. At
LFO.
Oh, yeah.
LFO
Don't
did...
Steal My Sunshine.
Oh,
is
right.
LFO?
Yeah.
No, the LFO is...
that's Len. LFO is...
New Kids on the Block had
a bunch of hits.
Chinese Food makes me sick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I like that guy for the summer. For the summer.
Yeah.
I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch.
I like Len better.
Ian Ziering, the Wayans Brothers.
Britney Spears.
I saw Ian Ziering at a Rite Aid once.
Bijou Phillips, Luke Perry, Dr. Drew. Am I on there somewhere?
Antonio Sabato Jr.
Oh, my heart be still.
Wow.
Monica,
Anne Hathaway, Jordan Knight, Mila Kunis.
Jesus Christ.
Jenny Garth from Jennifer Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah, right. Jennifer Lopez, Kelly Martin.
Jesus Christ. J-Lo was there.
Wow.
Tara Lipinski is the figure skater, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Where am I?
You're not. Vern Troyer?
Vern Troyer was
Lipinski
there.
Adam Lipinski and Cut Carolla from the list?
Wait a minute. How was Dr. Drew there?
Ousted by Lipinski again.
He's being slowly removed from the internet, Adam.
Is that what's going on?
You're being shadowed.
They did a scrub. The whole Woody debacle really did a number.
What steps?
I don't know.
Steps was there.
What was the next year? What was 2000? There must be.
Oh,
there,
you got to be all over that one.
I'm surprised Queen Latifah's not in there. I feel like she's always around these kid award shows.
Right.
Right.
That's funny that you brought up Queen Latifah.
I have you on 2000.
Oh, thank
you.
You
have me in 2000.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I showed up in 2000.
Why would Drew do it alone?
It could have been as simple as. Oh, that's gay. I'm not doing that on a Saturday down at the Santa Monica airport. Come
or maybe
on,
they
man.
Offered you to present with Lipinski and not Luke Perry, and that was a deal breaker.
Damn, the next year, Andy Dick and Dr. Dre. Wide
Jessica
range.
Jessica Alba.
Aaliyah.
Hanson.
Wow.
Paul Walker. Pink.
Jamie Foxx. Wow. Bill Goldberg. Kathy Griffin.
Ricky Lake.
Jesus.
Ricky Lake at the kids.
Wow.
Were kids big? Are kids just secretly huge Ricky Lake fans?
Pink was there.
Yeah.
I don't know. What? Usher.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Wow. Aaron
Catherine
Carter
Heigl.
And
Melissa Joan Hart.
Paul Walker, both off this list.
Oh, yeah.
Why did they? I don't know why they convinced so many celebrities to show up. And also, do you need 121 presenters?
I mean,
great
stack
question.
It.
Yeah.
We've had Rachel Lee Cook on, and she is a delight.
Yeah, she is. All right, so maybe I made it the second year. Maybe 2000 was the year that Destiny's Child came up.
Now, do you think there was an alt list where it was like, you know, Al Roker, Danny Bonaducci, you know.
Susan Olsen.
Susan Olsen, like, you know, the girl from Two Girls, One Cup.
Right.
Somebody tweeted me today that they were in Jamaica? Where were they, Chris? What was that sign? But you brought up Queen Latifah?
Yeah.
Which is weird because she was weighing heavy on my mind this morning.
Nice.
because of the Queen Latifah. Well, there's the Jay Leno. I talked to Leno over the weekend. He's doing better.
He's doing better.
He'll be in the news and all that. But this is from where?
This is in the Caribbean, Guyana.
No miming, no venom.
Guyana.
It's so
no
in
miming.
The it's outside of a restaurant. Like a sign, it's like no loitering.
Yeah, no chilling.
It's like no liming.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the liming is, in that part of the world, lounging, relaxing, spreading out.
Yeah.
And the Queen Latifah story goes, Adam Ray, which I don't think you've heard this one.
No. And I've heard most Latifah tales.
It's cringy.
We were doing the Tonight Show. And with Jay Leno, she was on first, and I was on second.
We got a great show tonight. We got Queen Latifah, not to be confused with my Xbox screen name, Queef Latina. And then coming up next, right after that, we got Adam Carolla, Think Around Headline, the next.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. And it must have been, it was around, it must have been shortly after December, January, back from the Christmas break, because my whole what else you got story, which you do with the production guys, you know, you do with the producer. You get a producer assigned to you, then they call you, and then they go, hey, what's going on? What's going on? And then you tell them your story. Oh, well, did you guys go anywhere for the Christmas vacation, family stuff? So Queen Latifah went to the Caribbean and limed out over there.
She's liming.
I had the whole story about my kids. They must have been 5 years old and all the packaging, and I don't have to deal with this anymore, thankfully, but kids and the packaging, the shit would all be shrink wrapped on a piece of hard cardboard and then have the baggy twisty wiring.
Yes.
Every arm of the figurine was wired. Everything's just wired down. Mm-hmm. It took 40 minutes to get this shit, and the kids would be, come on, come on. They'd be like, get a blowtorch out and a back saw and everything. And Queen Latifah did an entire set. Her entire sit down was, I went on vacation to the Caribbean and I was liming.
It's called liming.
Called liming. Liming. Yeah, liming. She just
you can't lime, but I was liming.
She kept saying it, and it didn't go over that well, because it was one of those things where she thought, I'm going to just keep calling this thing back.
Right.
But the audience was kind of done with it after the first 26 Lymans, she said. And then they had another 8 minutes to go. And just, it was just clear that she didn't work her shit out. But
it's too bad Jay can't step in and be like, well, if you say liming one more time, I'm going to
kill myself.
And we'll be right back. Vertical horizon to you.
But it was,
I'm going to douse myself in gasoline and try to fire up my steam car from 1909. This bitch doesn't stop talking about liming. Thank you.
So fresh in everyone's mind, Lyman.
Lyman, she met Lyman 28 times, 128 times, and then I get out there and I start doing the shtick on the kids and the packaging.
Relatable.
She's sitting next, you know, she slides over on the sofa.
Sure.
I slide there. I'm sitting and I'm doing my bit. And I said, Jay, you got to get a blowtorch out and a hacksaw out. And I couldn't get this thing open with Lyman dykes. And I'm told I gestured at her when I said dykes.
Oh, God.
Which sounds like...
We have the moment. It happened.
Which sounds like Lyman dykes, which she's been saying for the last 10 minutes.
Wait, what?
I said...
That's what I heard.
I said lineman dykes.
What is that?
Tool.
This is part of the problem.
Sorry to trigger you. I saw my Queen Latifah.
Lineman dykes are diagonal cutters, wire snippers that you would use if you were a lineman for the county. If you work for the phone company and were pulling lines, you'd use lineman dykes.
Is there another word for it that you could have gone with?
Garden shears.
Something that doesn't suggest. I
could have just gone with dykes, which would have been bad,
but not
as bad as lineman dykes.
Right. What are the odds?
Also, lineman.
I wasn't sure if I said lineman or lyman, because I'd heard her say lyman so many times that I was worried that I just said lineman dykes and looked at her.
Like, oh, God.
You would need this dyke couldn't open this action figure box.
Well, good thing nobody noticed and the show went on.
And I just rolled through it. And when we went to commercial break, you get what you never want, which is the producers with the headsets and the clipboards. They all rush up to the edge of the stage. And we're sitting there chewing the fat and talking to Queen and Jay. And they were like, they pointed at me. And I was like, yeah, you go. No, come here. Come here. Come here.
Oh, no.
Come here during the commercial. And I was like, you need me? This is something that never happens. We have to run over. There's five of them all in a semicircle at the edge of the stage. And they like pull me over. And they're like, you just called Queen Latifah a Lyman Dyke. And I said,
No,
I didn't do that. You pointed at her and said you couldn't get this open with a Lyman Dyke. You pointed at her. She just said she was Lyman. And she is, I mean, she, her sexuality is not, I mean, it's not discussed, but
it's leaning that way.
You outed her. And I was like,
you outed her.
No. And by the way, I'm dealing with postmenopausal women and two gay guys, right?
Oh,
and I go, Dyke. Oh, I go, no. I go, Dykes. No, Dykes. Like cutters. Dykes. Like wire cutters. Like Dykes.
Stop, you know, saying, dykes
that. Stop saying that.
I yelled, stop shouting Dykes. That's what one of them
leaned
in.
Let's start with that.
Stop
oh
shouting
Dykes. God.
Stop it. And I was like, and of course, you have adrenaline when you're out there. You're talking, I'm very famous. Not famous.
Full
but
stop.
My thing is whenever I do panel, I've always have a lot of success by drawing the guest in. A lot of people just cock their body toward the host.
It's no good.
Kind of turn their back on the other person and just leave the person out of the conversation, and they tend to drift off, you know? And I'm always back and forth. Like, am I right?
Yes.
Oh, come on. You've
makes
been
in that interview.
Right. So,
well, you're a Lyman Dyke.
They go, you turn. When you turn
to Queen bonded with her over something else.
And called her a Lyman Dyke. And I'm like, I turned to her. And then I started thinking, I am the kind of guy who would spread it around.
You couldn't have turned to her for the, you know, when you open a present,
right?
It just doesn't.
Is there anything more magical than Christmas morning?
Gesture, look.
And I was like,
could you feel it when you looked in her direction, the timing of it? Did you even realize it until after they rushed up to you after?
I didn't realize anything. And for me, Dykes, and for Jay Leno, he knows what Dykes are. He knows what Lyman Dykes are. But did I turn to her and did I say Lyman
Giovanni,
instead of Lyman?
Do we have the segment?
Because she'd said it so many times and maybe something was in my head.
Yeah.
And, or certainly that's the way the audience could have heard it after not.
Did the audience gasp?
It.
Or did Jay go, we all know what you meant, but that's not what he meant. You know, there's all sorts of dykes. There's a Klondike bar. There's a dyke pool. There's a you know, Lyman dyke. There's, you know, offensive Lyman dyke. You know.
I'm going to crawl underneath this 1909 white steamer right now and just kind of take a siesta at this point. You
they
guys
might have a
finished
Snickers
the
bar.
Show.
They might have a Snickers bar.
We have to.
Want to get
we
away?
We have to have the footage somewhere.
It's got to be out there. Everything's out there.
Yeah.
Lyman diagonal pliers.
Have you spoken to the Queen since?
No. So I...
Let's get her on the phone.
I drove home in a haze, like a 2,000-yard stairs, just driving.
Like, is my career over?
Going, what happened? Did I say? They said I turned to her and said, Lyman Dyke.
Six people saw it and told you.
Oh, it's just like driving home, and I'll never forget, James Baby Doll Dixon called, and he's like, hey, how'd it go? And I was like, I'm not sure. And he was like, what do you mean you're not sure? What happened? And I go, Queen Latifah was out there. And he goes, oh, shit. Like, he thought I dropped an N-bomb or something. And I'm like, no, it wasn't anything racial, but it was something else. And I couldn't figure it out. I just went home that night and just watched it.
Did they cut around it? Did it ever air?
It aired.
They
didn't cut around it.
Wow.
Bold move. Yeah.
I never turned toward her when I said it.
Thank God.
They did the thing middle-aged chicks does. And gay guys does, which is we must add a few logs to this fucking fire.
Wow. Yeah.
And they did. They goosed it up because
you looked her dead in the eye.
I remember like thinking like, oh,
you
my made, God.
You put it, your fingers over your mouth and did a weird tongue thing.
If I turned to her when I said lineman dykes, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
But I never did.
Oh, thank you.
They just said I did, which fucked me up.
That's a tough position for Jay, too, because I know we're joking about how do you transition out of that. But that is his – that's your job as the host to then – to either step in and go, eh, I found what he meant, or what else is going on, Adam? You celebrate any of the – what are you doing for Arbor Day? Like, he couldn't, like – you know, do you move on, or does he let that breathe and go – like, that night they could have been like, Jay, should we cut around it? No, leave it in. It's funny.
I didn't feel anything at the time. But also, Jay – and I are the only two people in that studio who know what lineman dykes are.
He wouldn't look at you quizzically. Yeah,
for him.
Yeah.
So he also was like, this adds up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Great. Great moments in oops-a-daisy television.
That's right. All right. We got, let's see. Yeah.
You know, there's a great, Adam puts up such great clips on your Instagram.
Oh,
I love
thanks.
It. And one of my favorites is how you handled it, because you're so funny, you're so quick, you do your thing, but you had a really poignant moment where you had to do crowd control with some drunk chick that got on stage with you.
Oh, yeah.
That people seemed fucking crazy angry about.
I think it's pinned on my Instagram if you guys want to pull it up.
You're the one that had to calm everybody down.
Yeah.
So that just made me think when you said, you know, Leno and talk show hosts, they have to do the tap dancing. You were the one that told everybody, like, be cool.
Yeah, that was crazy. Lax, I think it's the one that's, I think in the one that looks a little like staticky. Yeah. So this was in Kansas City at the Comedy Club at KC.
Oh, sorry.
And where you guys have been. Yeah. And rowdy KC crowds. And this woman was in the front and she was, I believe, Polish. And she was with an older white dude. And they had just been married about 5 years, maybe less, both like the second marriages. And they were both real sweet. I was having some fun back and forth with them. And then she was getting pretty toasty throughout the night. And then at one point, she, which people do when you're giving them, when they're included in the show, instead of just, you know, taking a backseat and being like, oh, cool, I'm adding to this. But she thought she could now do whatever the fuck she wanted. And she had a scarf and she saw that I was getting a little sweaty in the forehead. And so she came on stage with the scarf to, as she explains, to dab my sweat. But she came on stage, yeah, that one, that top left one, came on stage approaching me with.
People are pissed.
Mila, I'm gonna take you down. Yeah, you okay? Yeah.
She starts crying immediately.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I'm so nice about it.
Well, good.
Oh, she started crying.
Guys, give me one for Shane. He fucking runs a tight ship here. Yeah. Mila, it's all good. I want this to, in your country, yeah, go ahead. In your country, oh, you see the sweat on my face, you want to dab it off, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you're fine, that was a nice move.
Watch this.
I appreciate it. Yeah, you're good. Let me just tell you though, because of the recent events with, you know, people coming on stage, comedy in general is a little more sensitive to people coming on stage. Do you know that? There are places that will be, you know, because Shane is a fucking 5'2 Jew from Missouri, right? So clearly not too much was going to transpire. But if he was a 6'9 black dude from fucking Alabama, you might have gotten dropkicked out the fucking window, you know? The way you were holding that, I thought you were going to be like, just go to sleep. And you were like trying to, I thought you were trying to poison me. And you were going to wrap it around my face and go, just think of Dr. Pimple Popper and just fucking, you know. That's what I thought was happening. So, but also I was confident that I could, you know, fucking, you know, 1-2 punch if I needed to. You know, not that I've hit a woman before, but, you know, you're smaller than me. So I felt confident in that moment. But I also was, you know, I was also frozen. I was like, I've never been poisoned before. So I went into shock. I was like, oh, no, right? I was scared. I was half hard. You know, I was very confused is what I'm trying to say.
Like, handled it.
Her accent was so, but what was really daunting is that she, as soon as she walked back down, she immediately just started like sobbing and definitely the booze. Also just like, she was like, I can't believe, because, you know, that kid, Shane, the manager, was like, get the fuck off. And it was so
jarring.
She in her mind was trying to help, but it was like, how do I explain to her that like your heart's in the right place, but also like, this is bad news bears all over. Like, you're just, nothing about this is the right way to go about it. Like, definitely, you know.
I'm no fashion consultant, but if sweating's an issue on stage, perhaps a hoodie
less layers
covered by the jacket from Brokeback Mountain is probably
trust me, it was a little fitting up there.
It
was so cold, and once I went out there, I was like, because I remember it was the first show of the weekend, and I asked him, I was like, how warm is it out there? Because I'm like with the lights and everything, because I feel fine backstage, and it's not like I'm moving around too much up there, but yeah, it definitely created a little perspiration. Yeah.
Well, get ready to sweat more because we're playing the Rotten Tomatoes game.
Also, I didn't realize this, but Polish people are love to wipe the sweat off of Jews' foreheads. We'll sweat that out.
We'll take a quick break. Come back with the Rotten Tomatoes game right after this.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.